I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
I can't believe you're the age you are and you've not seen giraffes run on a TV show. What?
And the bulldog.
Long-range toddy, how would you make that up?
Someone did.
On WGR.
Sorry, I got a spit take on a mic over here.
Someone did. It's great.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, thanks for hanging with us today. Us being Sneaky Joe DiBiase in our Amherst studios. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away. We are enjoying a nice spring day with the knowledge that Taylor Hall... Well, I mean, this is exactly add to the nice day part, but I'm relieved that he's not playing tonight, and I assume that means he won't be playing anymore until he is traded. You know, not that I had it in for Taylor Hall or anything, but it became more and more apparent as the days went by here, heading for Monday's NHL trade deadline, that the Sabres were going to trade him. There seems to be a market, at least some market for him. I don't know how hot it will be. And I woke up today thinking about how I don't want him to play anymore because it seems apparent they're going to trade this player. So in a year where just about it feels like everything important that could go wrong has gone wrong, Jack Eichel's hurt, COVID, goalie's hurt. Jake McCabe was playing good. He's hurt. Ristolainen was playing good. He gets racked by Cole. It's, you know, the list. It's a long list. Will Borgen shows up and he looks good. Hey, look, he and Dahlin together. Oh, he's out for a month or more. It's been a terrible, terrible year. And I just did not want something to go haywire on Taylor Hall getting traded between now and Monday. So the way to, I think, do the best you can to avoid that is to have him not play any more hockey games. So that was the word, I don't know, late this morning that Taylor Hall would be a scratch tonight. And again, I'm assuming that will hold through for Thursday's home game with New Jersey. They're on the road in New Jersey tonight, by the way, if I didn't say that already. They're home for New Jersey on Thursday, home for Washington on Friday. And then I think they play Sunday afternoon, maybe in Philly. Anyway, that's the schedule before the trade deadline, and I think this all means that Taylor Hall's done after 37 games and 2 goals as a Buffalo Sabre. So I said earlier, and we tweeted out from the station account, is that the worst free agent signing in Sabres history? And the mentions are tremendous. Even someone went as far as to find a picture of Ville Leino in the clothing line that he founded and still, I think, owns, and send me a picture of that. There's a lot of Ville Leino. I'm getting a lot of Ville Leino. There's some Oposo and Matt Molson mixed in. Cody Hodgson even got mentioned, even though he wasn't a free agent. They just extended his contract. These are all deals that soured almost immediately. And yes, the baggage that is contained within, i.e. you were saddled with Matt Molson for a long time and eventually just sent him away, loaned him to the AHL. Kyle Oposo is still on the team and under contract. That still is going on. Jeff Skinner was technically a free agent, right? He got to free agency. They didn't re-sign him before July 1st,
Ooh,
did
no,
they?
No, I think they did. They signed him before free agency.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. We should check that for sure.
I'll check.
I felt like they got there and then still ended up keeping him. No, because it was eight years.
The extension.
So it had to be before.
Yeah, June 7th.
Yeah.
So about just under a month before.
Yep. My bad. Okay, so he he kind of counts. I mean, he was going to free agency. He was about to be a UFA, so you pay more. These are all deals that have, to varying degrees, not worked out. The thing about Hall, so yes, Skinner ultimately, again, it's a technicality, but he was bound for free agency. You were keeping him from free agency. So you signed a going rate for a free agent, Jeff Skinner, basically contract. And yes, that's going to hang around a lot longer than Taylor Hall. But and expectations would have been very high for Jeff Skinner, too, coming off a 40-goal season. So, you know, that one doesn't get mentioned, but maybe you're still hopeful that's going to turn around because we're only 2 years into an 8-year deal at $9 million per. That sounds good, doesn't it? Hey, were you having a good day? Hi, I'd like to ruin it for you by reminding you there's still 60 more years at $9 million on Jeff Skinner's contract. Jesus, this existence we've been saddled with is amazing. Anyway, Taylor Hall, the point is, yes, it's hyperbole to say he's the worst free agent signing in Sabres history because it was only for 1 year, and they will get something for him here at the trade deadline, it seems. And you know, what that becomes, we'll see, in the form of a prospect, in the form of picks, maybe one of both. I mean, we'll see how lucrative the return on that trade ends up being. But the reason it rates to me is whether it certainly is not the worst. I'll admit to that being true. So thank you again for all the replies, and especially those of you who sent me photographs of Ville Leino in hoodies. It's disappointing, which doesn't make it the worst, but given expectations for Taylor Hall and what his signing could have meant, I don't think a lot of fans were running around parroting Terry Pegula saying this makes us a contender for the Stanley Cup. But it matters in the equation to me that the owners of the team, at least one of the owners of the team, Terry Pegula, said himself, this makes us a Stanley Cup contender. And the organization promoted that. They put it in a behind the scenes. And I love those features. I'm in no way criticizing them for putting that out. But, I mean, it raises the bar of expectation when the owner is saying he thinks they're a cup contender because they're signing this player. And the guy gets 2 goals in 37 games. And he's a former MVP. Like, that's different than Ville Leino. Even though Ville Leino was here longer and barely scored more than that, even though he was here for maybe, I don't know, is it 3 times as many games? I don't know if it's that many, but it's a lot. Maybe it is around that. Maybe it's even more. Either way, Taylor Hall is a former MVP. He's a former lottery pick. He comes with a pedigree, and it was a disaster. But, you know, the long-term damage makes it hard to accept that it's the worst signing in history. I mean, it was even said at the time, hey, if it doesn't work, you can always spin them off for assets. And that's where they're going to end up. But it is, to me, very worth noting how disappointing that the signing has ended up being. 37 games in this COVID-warped, whacked-out year, and 2 goals, and he'll be sent on his way for picks and a prospect, and maybe we'll remember their names someday. You know, I mean, that's basically where we are. I mean, it's hard to do worse than that.
That's why, like,
two goals.
When you first said this in, like, the first segment of the show, I, for myself, wanted to kind of split it because I think on the ice, I think you're right. Like, falling short of meeting expectations on the ice, I think the difference between what you were hoping for and what you got is probably the biggest gap between any free agent they've ever signed, which in that sense, you could call it the worst signing they've ever had. But for me, when we look at the end result and what became of the signing, and if you would have to play, of course, the trade they're going to get into that, I think I just brought up, because I looked this up in the summer, the top free agent scorers in Sabre history. And I'm looking at this list right now, and I'm only thinking about, like, even if they get a second-round pick and a prospect for Taylor Hall, I might want to call Taylor Hall the best end result they've ever had to a free agent signing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hear you. Getting something for him and not being saddled with him for four more years or five more years or, you know, whatever.
Skinner again? Six?
Right. Six more years. Everyone can add, right? So I don't need to just keep going. Yeah. I mean, that makes it like your net result is better than any of the other guys that were here for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 9 years, eight years. So yes, I mean, that makes sense.
There is another part of this too, though, and it might be dependent on what becomes of Jack Eichel. And like, I've got tweets in front of me now about Elliot Friedman's talking about, you know, Eichel and what might come this off season. And like, I don't even want to read that stuff right now, but like, if it becomes where that relationship becomes untenable, we might look back at Taylor Hall and not only think about the fact that he failed as a signing, but we might look back at that and think, well, that was their real last swing at being able to keep Jack Eichel happy. Like, they tried. They signed a former MVP candidate to come in, and maybe if he had been unbelievable, if he had played like he did with the Devils 3 years ago and they didn't run into injuries, like, that season could have gone a lot different, and maybe the future with Jack Eichel would have been different. So there's a chance, depending on what happens here, that his – look, you'll look back at Taylor Hall and think, actually, yeah, that was – brutal, because that was our last kick at the can.
Right. What you do right there by adding that into the conversation, Joe, is like add pages to the chapter, right? Like a lot of these other signings, the examples that again, like the residue, the long-term damage that signing a free agent that you're stuck with, like the Sabres have been with some of these guys, you know, that it's open and shut. This player was signed for this long. They couldn't get out of the contract. The player didn't produce. What a disaster. The Eichel piece of Hall, if it comes to that, makes it more like a novel. You know, it's not just flat out that didn't work. It's like it didn't work, and here's what was supposed to happen and what they were hoping would happen, and as a result, this other stuff all came behind. I mean, I guess you could do that with anyone, but I think that's a very important piece to this. Like, the Hall signing, Stahl as well, but I think Hall was the big piece because Stahl, of course, was never going to play with Eichel. They're both centers, right? So Hall was, all right, look, Jack, we're going to get this right. You should be happy, and we're going to win, and everything is going to be fine. And instead, I mean, it's just been a year from hell for Eichel and for the team and really all of us by virtue of that. But, like, Eichel specifically I'm settling on he's not been healthy all year, basically. I think that's where we end up here. He's been battling injury all year, and ultimately it ended up taking him out of the lineup. And I don't know. We'll see if he ever gets back. I've heard a couple things that aren't real optimistic about that, but we'll see. Nothing that I can really report yet or anything, but I'm not encouraged by what I'm hearing. Just from an injury standpoint, it seems like something that could keep him out the rest of the year. So, I mean, it did not. If that's the criteria you're judging Taylor Hall on, and whether it was a good signing or not, I mean, forget it. It's a slam dunk no. It did not work because, you know, you did not get Eichel on track. And again, you know, the injuries and COVID all play a part in that. So it's not all Taylor Hall's fault. I'm not at all really saying exactly that it's all his fault, but there was a lot, like Joe just said, baked into the Hall signing as it pertains to Eichel, and it just never got off the ground. I mean, they did play a good chunk of hockey games together, and, you know, again, maybe Eichel's injury had as much of an impact on that as anything. A healthy Jack Eichel with Taylor Hall, maybe we got a whole different thing. I mean, Eichel just never, to me, looked like the player he was last year, and I think his health had everything to do with that. It was easy, I think, as it was happening, to wonder. You don't know about the injury. I mean, you know he was hurt at the beginning of camp and missed a little bit of time, but was back pretty soon and didn't miss the start of the season or anything. And so did he miss the first game? Eichel?
I think he was in the lineup.
Okay. I couldn't remember there for a second. Anyway, I just, you know, a healthy Eichel, maybe you get Taylor Hall, and it's not a situation like that ends up being as negative as it turned out. But, you know, I guess we're never going to find out because Taylor Hall is likely gone and he won't see a healthy Jack Eichel. That's pretty much, I think, a foregone conclusion at this point. All right, let's get going on the phones. 803-0550. Mike is first up this segment. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling. You are on WGR.
Hey, listen, you know, the fact that we're talking about Taylor Hall in the same conversation as Ville Leino says a lot of things. I'm not sure exactly what, but my goodness, at least with respect to Hall, he's not a guy who says, I signed a six-year deal for $27 million, and I've decided that I'm not going to play the position for which he signed me. That having been said, you know, I think you raised a really interesting point with the comment about Elliott Friedman and Jack Eichel, and I'm going to maybe turn the conversation a little bit, but it's something I've been wondering about for a while. You know, everybody's concerned about whether Eichel likes Buffalo and whether Eichel wants out. And my attitude, frankly, is who cares? You know, and I look at it like, do you really think we're going to be a Stanley Cup contender at any point in the next 5 years when Jack Eichel is under contract? I think it's comical to suggest as much for a variety of reasons. But to the extent somebody else doesn't deny Hugh Bulldog, but somebody else or the fan in general, this guy's got to go. And the common thread here hasn't been lousy free agent signings, and there's been a bunch of them. But it's the guy who's been here for 6 years, and I don't know. You know, you mentioned something about getting Eichel back on track. Last I checked, he was on track with Skinner. We signed a coach who, that might be the worst signing, frankly, ever, Ralph Kruger, decided to split the two of them up, and now we're in a position where we say, okay, we've got this guy we sacrificed basically two seasons for. It isn't working. Do we cling to him and hope that it works in the next 5 years, or do we accept reality and say, we got to fumigate the place, and it's time to move on? So, you know, he's not Ville Leino. No one will ever come close to Ville Leino. That having been said, I think you're getting to a point where there are holistic issues here that transcend Taylor Hall and Ville Leino and Ralph Kruger, and, you know, the whole thing is called into question. Anyways, your comments.
Okay, good. Thank you for the call. I think that sentiment is out there a lot. I think there are, I don't know that it's the majority of fans, but certainly, you know, what's the common thread? You know, Dan Bylsma and Tim Murray and Jason Bottrell and Phil Housley, and now it's Kevin Adams and Ralph Kruger, and Jack Eichel is here for all of it. I mean, there are other guys who are here for all of it, too. Zemgus Girgensons and Rasmus Ristolainen and Sam Reinhart, but of course, Eichel is the centerpiece of that. Here's what I think about that. If I knew that Eichel was some sort of a problem, that he didn't work his ass off to try to be the best he can be, then I think I'd be inclined to ride right with you and say, get him out of here. Don't worry about if he wants to demand a trade. Why don't you just trade him? Because you might get better. He's a great player. He's an elite player. And I said maybe a week ago, until he tells me he wants to go, I am not trading him. Because I don't know it to be true. I'm pretty confident it's not true that he's a problem, that he checked out, that he wants to leave, that you know, his attitude or his work ethic or something is the number one problem on this team. In fact, I hear the opposite from like sources I trust who know role players on this team that tell you the guy when he's there, when he's healthy, not now, that he, you know, he works, he wants it, he leads. So I cannot get to he's my problem. You know, I think, you know, it, what I know, and look, this is, I said a little while ago, like Adam Schefter gets told stuff, like what's true and not true. And you always have to be careful. You know, I've heard plenty of criticism of Eichel from inside. But I've also heard plenty of people going to bat for him. And, you know, we all have to decide which is right. Like, what do you want to believe? Here's what I know. He is a supremely talented hockey player that is on my team. And if I move him off my team, the chances of me getting better by moving him and winning that trade, I think, are very tough. Can it happen? Sure. But I think it's hard. It's hard to win that trade. But I understand. I mean, look, it's not working. So if it comes to that, you know, we're still going to have a team and we're still going to have to figure out how to, you know, see their way forward and be, you know, good for a change. But I just don't – I have a very hard time just getting completely side-by-side with the caller mic there. That is just fumigated. It's his fault. You know, it's tempting to do that. I know you watch, especially this year. Like I got as close as I think I will ever get. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I guess I could get pushed right over the edge. But watching him this year really frustrated me, because without knowing what's going on, without knowing the severity of the injury that ultimately sidelined him, I think you could watch him play this year and reach the conclusion without talking to anybody on either side of it that either supports Jack Eichel or is super critical of Jack Eichel. You could watch the games and go, I don't know, man. Like, what's happening? Why he's not the same player he was last year. I think that was plainly obvious. And, you know, so what do you do with that? You know, I think because we're all worried about his desire to stay here, it becomes, oh, they're terrible again. Of course he wants to leave, so he's not trying. That is largely circumstantial. And I am not inclined to get there. I just can't. I can't bring myself to get there. I'm not. I want to be sure of it if I'm ever going to say that on the radio with authority. You know, I'm just not. I'm hearing too much of the other side. And you know, you always have to try to figure out who's got an agenda when you're hearing stuff, right? Like, who's telling me this? Why do they want me to know it? Right? And right now, if the Sabres were worried about Jack Eichel's future, I think they would be trying to perhaps dust him in a way, like make this stick to him so that when they move him, they are applauded for it. And that's not what I'm getting from inside right now. So I think that matters. I think you got to take that into account. So I appreciate the call and I appreciate the thought, because I know it's out there a lot. To like ignore it would be, I think, ridiculous, because we're in the conversation business here. But I cannot just unequivocally say he has to go. He's the problem. He is awesome. He is a superstar when he's healthy, and he is your best chance still next year to be good. Or at least better than they are right now. And if you move him, and it's kids and somebody who, you know, might be able to play top line minutes, but, you know, whatever, I just think it's very, very risky. It's very risky. So I understand the frustration, though. I hope I've made myself clear. 803-0550 is the number. You want to get in on the conversation? Taylor Hall's not going to play. Jack's future, it's all there. I gotta go find these Elliot Friedman tweets that the caller referenced and Joe referenced, and see what he is saying about Jack Eichel today and mix that into the conversation. We're heading for pregame at 6 o'clock. Mike Schope is away. I am the Bulldog, along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The guys, like, you know, you make it this far and you're 31-0 going into the last 40 minutes of the season, there's absolutely nothing you should ever feel bad about. And they'll look back on this season as time passes as something just amazing and incredible. But it, again, just hats off to Baylor. They dominated us on both sides of the ball.
That is Gonzaga men's basketball coach Mark Few talking about last night's blowout loss in the national title game. The dream of an undefeated national champion in men's college basketball died at the feet of Baylor last night for Gonzaga. I made it. Joe, I watched the whole damn thing.
Come on. No way.
Yeah, I know.
The 9:20 start in the first place would give me pause on that, but the fact that it was, wasn't it like 23-5 early? Like, it got away quick.
It did. It was 9-0, and then it was as much as a 19-point lead in the first half. It got down to 10 at halftime, and then I think even 9 early in the second half. And then, like, in an instant, it was back to 16. I mean, it just, bam! They were so impressive, man. They were so impressive, Baylor. I wanted to keep watching in part for that, and also, I don't know, a couple times probably in the second half, maybe the last time with like 6 or 7 minutes to go, it got to 13, and you know Gonzaga is, you know, from reading about it, and you just know they average, what, 91 points a game? Like, they're a great scoring team. Like, a couple of threes, and it's a 7-point game, right? So I sort of just kept hanging in there. And once you cross to there and the game never gets close, the ending is going to take an hour, you know, because it's not the usual ending. You know, it's just sort of, they just played it out instead of, you know, 2 minutes on the clock taking 35 minutes or something. It just sort of flew by. And so, yeah, I hung in there right to the buzzer.
Well, because I did not. I started watching the game, and then it got away, and I turned something else on, and I think I did go back to it at one point. I must have missed this one little rally they had, because I think it was start of the second half. I came back to it, and it was still 16 or 17.
Yeah. No, it was quick. It really was. The half started, and like I said, a few minutes in, maybe. I don't remember exactly the time, but I remember it got to 9. I know it got to 9 because I texted Owen. Like, he was trying to watch, but he had something else going on. And I said, it's a 9-point game. And before I could even hit send on the text, it was 16 again. I'm a slow texter. But I was like, oop, so much for that. You know, just bam. It happened real quick. So anyway, hats off, man. Baylor. Hats off to the Shope House. It's a Baylor house. Carolyn played tennis at Baylor. That's Mike's wife. So they're big, big Baylors. It was all over social media, Sick'em Bears last night. So I'm sure they were pretty happy there. Anyway, I was really impressed with Baylor, though. Like, that, they just did such a great job defensively. Like, Gonzaga just never looked – I mean, I'm, you know, very casual about all this. They just – every possession in the first half was like – dribble off a knee, a bad pass. Like, they just could not get settled down at all. And I credit Baylor defensively for that. I mean, they just were all over them and really did a great job. All right, enough of that. 803-0550. We're talking about Taylor Hall, Jack Eichel's future, and all of it in advance of a hockey game tonight in New Jersey. Sabres and Devils coming your way at 7 pregame in about 20 minutes or so. Let's fire it back up on the phones. Tom is up first this segment. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Real quick, you were just talking about Baylor. Suggs got in foul trouble, and I don't know. They are more of a pass two-point team, and they couldn't get their threes to fall. But
yep.
The only thing I don't like about Baylor is their athletic department's reputation and what they've had with football team and harassment and whatever. So I wasn't happy to see them win. But anyways, on to more crazy topics. These people who want to move Eichel, they're out of their minds. The guy who got on and said he's a problem, he's not showing this, he's not doing that. Last year, he was two-thirds of the season, he was in the top three for MVP. What do they mean he's not showing what he's got to do? I mean, and they're going to make a trade like O'Reilly and lose him for next to nothing. I mean, O'Reilly was trouble in Colorado. He wanted to be, when he wasn't top dog, whenever he wasn't top dog, he thought he should have been captain out there. They booted him out. He was great when he got here his first year or so. He was mentoring Reinhardt. The minute Eichel comes in, again, he's not top dog. I need to leave.
Well, I got to stop you. That's not exactly right. He debuted the same game as Eichel. Like, he was not here ahead of Eichel. He got traded for on draft night before they picked Eichel. So their careers lined up. They were here together to start the 2015-16 season.
Yeah, but once they saw that Eichel was going to be going to be the captain, and then i.e. the captain means he's no longer top dog, then he's wah. So,
see, Tom, I really appreciate you bringing this up, because everything I just said about Eichel during the last segment about how, like, you know, you got to be careful what you're hearing and be aware of why someone's telling you what they're telling you. I would say that I got sucked into O'Reilly. I mean, I wouldn't put it the way you're putting it, with, you know, the wah-wah sound effects and all that. But I believed he was a problem. And they got scorched in that trade. So I wish they hadn't done it. I wish I hadn't suggested it as an idea, as a way out, because I think they needed to find a different solution than trading good players and ending up holding, and ending up getting a guy who retired and went home to Sweden rather than collect on $12 million he was owed, like Patrick Berglund. I mean, it was a terrible deal. Now, I don't think trading Eichel is the same thing. You're talking about a different level of superstar in the league, but you could get burned in the trade for sure. And I do not want to make it either. So we line up there. I'm just sort of, guard against assuming and taking what you're saying about O'Reilly to be correct, because I believed that for a time, but I think looking back on it now, it would be ridiculous for me to say it wasn't wrong. I think it was wrong. Did I lose Tom? Tom's gone. All right, well, that's fine. 803-0550 is the number. I alluded to Elliot Friedman. Joe mentioned it, and I did as well. It's simply this. His latest edition of the 31 Thoughts, which I feel like is must-read for hockey fans. If you're not following Elliot on Twitter or don't come across that, you should go find it. It's weekly, and it's full of good nuggets. All he's really writing today in 31 Thoughts is that, you know, keep your eye on Kevin Adams. He's listening. Now, he even points out there's a big difference between considering and doing, but that at this point, Elliot from Sportsnet, that Kevin Adams is listening to Jack Eichel pitches from teams. So, I wouldn't think that that's something that happens between now and Monday, by the way. I mean, the guy's hurt, and I think his return for this season is in doubt. But even if he were playing, I think any trade involving him is probably an off-season type trade, a big hockey trade, not something that happens, you know, at the trade deadline. But nonetheless, what Friedman is saying, which I don't think is exactly fresh news, although if he's saying like he knows Adams is listening, I think we've been under the impression that didn't Adams say last summer he listened. You know, teams are going to call and ask you about Jack Eichel. I think you have to listen to that because if someone, like I think you can very easily lose a trade involving Jack Eichel. It's hard to win a trade involving Jack Eichel. But if someone pushes enough stuff into the center of the table for you where it starts to be a real legitimate conversation. Like, we might actually get better if we get this piece and this piece and this piece and whatever else. And that's the kind of trade I think you're talking about if you're involving Jack Eichel. You're talking about multiple pieces. If someone gets to the point where it's lucrative enough, you never get to find that out if you're not at least listening. Right, if you're not considering, if you're not open to hearing what someone might want to offer you, then you are making a mistake in that you're not availing yourself of an offer that might be too good to turn down, like an offer where you could win the trade. That I think is unlikely, but you at least have to listen. I mean, that's part of the job. So I don't think there's any harm in listening on Jack Eichel. It doesn't necessarily mean you want to move him or you're eager to move him. It just means if someone gets to a threshold where we have to consider it, then, you know, then the real conversation starts. But you never get to that point if you're not listening. So I don't know, I'm not alarmed by that at all, and I'm not surprised to hear it. In fact, I sort of have expected that would have been the case all along here. Anyway, thank you for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. 803-0550 is the phone number. Pre-game for the Sabres and Devils comes your way at the top of the hour. We'll get Paul Hamilton in right at the start of that. Sabres and Devils at 7:07 or thereabouts from New Jersey tonight right here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Each player has a capacity, a very high, you know, high level, and there's a range. Guys are different. You know, Darlene's capacity is probably higher than another guy's. You look at that, and you certainly evaluate that as a coach, thinking that, sure, if we get this particular guy more toward his capacity, it may be more impactful right away. And Dahlin was one of those guys. I mean, Dahlin was a priority for us, for me specifically. I fortunately worked with and had lots of really good defensemen of his age, you know, from Quinn Hughes to Charlie McAvoy to Zach Werenski.
That is Don Granato, Sabres interim coach, again from this morning's appearance with Jeremy White and Sal Capaccio. Sal filling in for Howard Simon this week on the morning show. You can check that out at the Odyssey app on your smart device. Dig into that. He was talking about Rasmus Dahlin there. I'm just realizing that at like 3:05 this afternoon, in sort of laying out the show in my head, I didn't anticipate the reaction to saying that Taylor Hall was the worst signing in free agent history for the Sabres. So that sort of turned into like really most of the afternoon here. But I said I had an observation about the Deshaun Watson situation, and I think I'll try to share that here before we get to Sabres pregame. The lawyer that's representing the women, the group of women who are suing him, had a news conference today, and this is not my observation. Will spin off of this. Just want to like lay out what the latest is in case you weren't following it today, and as part of that gathering with the media, the lawyer produced evidence that one of the 18 massage therapists who signed a document supporting Watson last week had messages, some sort of text messages or direct messages. I don't remember what you know where it was, whether it was Instagram or whatever, but there was evidence that she was disturbed by Watson's behavior. Even though she ended up on the side of, again, one of the 18 women who was supporting, I think the lawyer for Watson produced that last week as to try to like you know fight the growing tide of evidence against and the public opinion against Watson with the growing caseload and the number of civil cases. There's it just looks worse and worse for Watson all the time. And I said yesterday that like if he's guilty of any bit one shred of any of the awful stuff that's being he's being accused of, I mean, just good luck with your NFL career, pal. I mean, I know how it works in football, but this thing is it's becoming more and more difficult for me to imagine, and I think a lot of people like watching this thing unfold, to imagine him playing football this year. I think it's not going away. No one is getting paid off. It's heading for, I think a very, very bad situation. And rightly so. I mean, if he's guilty of any of this stuff, he deserves what he's got coming here. And I've been thinking this thought, and I was reluctant to mention it. I thought of it last week, and I thought it might seem too frivolous to mention because of the seriousness of the situation and you know just how seriously it should be taken. And I didn't want to seem like I was, because I don't mean at all. My intention is not to be making light of any bit of it. It is deadly serious. But you've got 18 women who signed a document supporting him. You've got 22 women now. And there's, by the way, a part of the lawyer for these women today having this news conference was there's a name. It's all been anonymous up until today. There's now a name. One of the women has come public and her identity is known. And I think that is significant. But you got 22 women on that side and 18 women on the other side, and these are all massage therapists. I don't purport to know the world that pro football players or pro athletes in general are living in. Like, we talk to some of them. We get to know some of them very much at a distance. You know, people who are on our show and even retired guys, we get to know maybe a little better than that. 40 massage therapists seems like a lot. Like, for one pro athlete to have 40 different, to be constantly searching for different massage therapists just seems bizarre. If it's normal, then, you know, I'm in the wrong here. But it indicates to me like a pattern of behavior by Watson that he's looking for something. And again, that could just be circumstantial. And if that's normal for someone in his position, then my bad. But 40 massage therapists, even over 5 years, seems a little odd. Maybe a lot odd. Odd enough for me to want to even say it on the radio. Like, I would sooner think someone with the means that Deshaun Watson has would just have a massage therapist that is at his beck and call. That is like that's just you're paying like you pay a personal chef. This is my massage therapist. Who else does he work with? Well, he's my guy or my girl, whatever. That he or she works for me. He's part of Team Deshaun Watson. He's worked with 40 different people over 5 years. That just seems messed up to me. So I don't know. If that's just circumstantial, so be it. But it just really stood out to me that there's that many. All right, I got to take a break. We got Sabres pregame on the way here. Paul Hamilton will help us lead that off right after this on WGR.